individual who has high emotional intelligence is a team player, good listener, excellent communicator, and able to manage conflict effectively and skilled in building and maintaining relationships to recognize the feelings of others.
Welcome back to the Investing with Purpose podcast, where we explore the intersection of success and significance. We discuss alternative investment options from our experience buying hundreds of millions of dollars worth of real estate, but most importantly, how we're using that business to impact people in a positive way to leave a legacy that matters. Let's get after it.
Today, we're going to discuss emotional intelligence when going through stressful situations and how do you build that emotional quotient. And the reason isn't necessarily just for us. So there's an inverse relationship between clarity and stress. We know this. There's actually a correlated relationship between emotional quotient and how you handle stress, meaning the higher your emotional intelligence, the better you handle stress. And as leaders in a small company that do a lot in short bursts of time, if you can't handle that, it makes other people feel unsafe, right? So like, how do we make sure, because safety is one of the human conditions that makes us still feel part of a community, right? And that could be as little as not communicating well. It could be as little as just being short or being upset or focusing on the task instead of the people is a big piece of that. So I think this is a great time just for personally, I always learn more when I have to study this stuff to talk about it with you guys. So selfishly, I was like, all right, well, how do we do? My self-assessment was I've done the best I ever have during the most stressful time. Is that good enough? No, but it's reps under the bar. Travis and I have put ourselves in this position so many times before that I still did date night on Friday night, even though we had to close on Monday, right? I wasn't letting it push me off track of my normal routine just because we had a stressful situation to go on, right? I was getting boxers from some of you guys at 8, 9 o'clock at night. We're pulling 14, 15 hour days. It was a lot of work in a short sprinted amount of time. We told Nick and Jeff yesterday that we're so grateful for them because honestly, we would have never gotten there without them putting together those webinars. We wouldn't have gotten close enough to get the bridge loan to get to the finish line. Well, and everybody had their own levels of stress in their own lane. Now it's the debrief time, right? Let's look back at it and say, what went right? What went wrong? What do we do different next time? And I was just reading a lot on just emotional intelligence and how it's essentially the secret to how you manage stress. We all have pressures in life with job, money, relationships, whatever, family, birthday parties. Like we all have that stuff going on. And our emotional intelligence directly affects how we relate to other people, including how we manage and lead. So let's just talk about some characteristics. Like high emotional intelligence, you're hearing from people a lot like the I feel statements, meaning they're openly expressing emotion. They're not preoccupied with negative emotions, and they're not making decisions based on just feelings, but they're making decisions based on feelings and logic. We tend to be assertive, ambitious, and decisive when we have a high emotional intelligence. We're detailed, careful, meticulous, warm, enthusiastic, charming are some of the adjectives that are used. Low emotional intelligence, and we all have these people in our lives, right? Some to the extreme and some to where it only comes out when we get super stressed. But when other people are pointing at like how you make them feel, like you always make me feel this way, or they're not really good at sharing feelings verbally, they are only sharing feelings that are negative or rushed or stressed, demanding, critical, picky, distractible, hard to please. So how do we improve our emotional intelligence? And this is just a 4-step process. I could send you guys the article. And I read a couple of really interesting like medical journal studies on this because the evidence is there, right? This isn't just kind of woo-woo stuff. It's like you can actually put this on a graph and see where you land in different situations, which I think is pretty cool. It's measurable. So 4 ways. The first thing we need to do is be aware of what emotional intelligence components are. 1 is self-awareness. 2 is self-regulation. 3 is social skills and empathy, and then 4 is motivation. So those 4 tactics or those 4 components relate directly to emotional intelligence. So self-awareness, pretty simple, right? Just being aware of the different aspects of yourself, including emotions and feelings, and then also like how you're speaking because of those emotions and feelings. Good questions to ask yourself is, how are my emotions influencing how I respond? Are the things that I'm feeling impacting the decisions I'm making? That was a big one for me. I mean, Travis and Sean used to point this out to me all the time. Like, hey, you're emotional, so you're making decisions, but it's not based on logic. You're just making a decision because it's reactionary. And that's when you make bad decisions. What's the quote? Poverty loves rushed decisions. You have to be able to make good, logical decisions. How am I communicating with others? Am I getting impatient, angry, or annoyed? Do I need to improve on how I cope with these frustrations? Am I taking responsibility for my actions? Second, self-regulation. Self-regulation is just the ability to control emotions and impulses. So find ways to release stress, working out, going for a walk. Like sometimes when I play golf, I'll joke around and say, I'm going to take a mental health hole. Just blowing it up and I need a minute to not worry about how bad I'm doing. Same thing. Like a couple times last week or 2 weeks ago when we were in the final push, I felt like I absolutely did not have time, but definitely needed to go take a 30-minute walk outside. Just put music on, go for a walk, because I could tell that my decision-making or my communication or even my activity level, like the things that I were doing were not as efficient as I needed it to be because my brain was all over the place. So finding ways to release stress, taking a break. I mean, even the breathing app on my phone, as ridiculous as it is, like when do we take just 60 seconds to just breathe in and out to like, it shows.
Not ridiculous.
It's not. No, studies show how that really works in releasing stress. Remind yourself you can't control everything. That's good. I like that. Give yourself permission to pause and not make a rash decision. Third, social skills and empathy. So just being aware of other people's emotions. We talk about tactical empathy a lot in terms of the sales process. We talk about what listening without judgment was talking about in terms of the four communication styles. So I think we know this, but it's so important to be reminded in the different situations. When I'm good, I'm really good at this stuff. When I'm back up against the wall, I can be better. So how do you improve your social skills? Awareness of other people's emotions. An individual who has high EI, emotional intelligence, is a team player, good listener, excellent communicator, and able to manage conflict effectively and skilled in building and maintaining relationships to recognize the feelings of others. So obviously the things that we've talked about in the past was just, how are you viewing somebody else's perspective? Are you remembering that another individual's behavior is based on self needs and see it from their perspective? Are you exploring the why of how this individual is seeing a situation and why do they feel differently than you do? Improving listening techniques, becoming empathetic, non-judgmental support, and be willing to put other things to the side to be able to authentically connect. And then for motivation, understanding the deeper meaning of your aspirations. So being committed and being optimistic. Ways to improve that, to ask yourself, what is the meaning of what I'm doing? Without meaning, it's going to be very difficult to sustain motivation or energy. This is why we always talk about the GWC in our quarterlies. And we're always asking you guys to make lists of, hey, what do I like doing? What am I doing that I have to do that I don't like doing? Because without the motivation, we know you're going to get burned. If you can't recognize that, nobody else on the team is going to recognize. So it's important to have that self-awareness and be able to figure out where your motivation lies. This is a good one for me. I like to journal and reflect on personal and professional motivations. Motivation is based on a deep level of what we want. Once we know our purpose and our wants, then we are instantaneously motivated. Pay attention to what is exciting to you, what gives you energy and what refuels you. And the converse of that is be aware of the things that drain you, right? Again, it's not always a light switch that we can fix. Some of it might be, but if it's not communicated, it's not going to be ever fixed. And then look for a mentor or guide to emulate. So individuals who have higher EI are less likely to be negatively impacted by the presence of stressors. Improving your emotional intelligence allows you to become more resilient and less likely to succumb to burnout and depression. High emotional intelligence is correlated with psychological well-being. Remember that it is not your job to fix or save people to be liked, to do it all, to please everyone, or to hold it all together. Your job is to understand and love people, be authentic, take the next step, speak and communicate truthfully, and breathe. So good reminders on the back end of this. I mean, we're not through it. The initial stress is through as we got through closing. I love the fact that we have 45 days really to finish this thing out. I mean, that's almost double the amount of time that we had from when Nick and Jeff said, hey, let's do a webinar. So if you think about it in that perspective, it's super helpful because they had, I think it was 3 weeks And 5 days from the time they told us, hey, let's do this, to the time that we started running webinars, getting people in the door, breaking the machine. So now we get the opportunity to reflect on, okay, what were those things that created stress? I mean, what's amazing is just, I know my communication style based on not being stressed right now and how it's converting new leads. I'm not pushing them to a finish line on Friday because my urgency and my panic button isn't hit. So now I'm calling people and saying, yeah, well, look, we closed with our own money. We're going to leave a couple spots open for people that want to dip their toe in and jump in with us at the $100,000 rate. So if that's you, go ahead and raise your hand. If that's not, that's okay too. We only have a few spots. And that changes the entire tenor of the conversation. Now people are going, oh, really? That's still open? That's awesome. Because nobody likes, if I said, hey, Sean, can you wire me 250 grand? I just need it in like 3 hours. Everybody just shuts down. Somebody called me the other day and actually had a pretty reasonable investment opportunity for not a lot of money. And I was like, man, I would love to do that. But it was so fast. I just said, no, it doesn't feel good. There's too much pressure in timing. So now that we've released that valve, I think one, we'll all be able to analyze the last couple of weeks better. And then also looking forward, what it's going to look like.
Thanks for listening to the Investing with Purpose podcast. If you're finding value, would you leave us a review and share this with your friends? And go to investingwithpurpose.org to learn more about how to partner with us and to learn more about the nonprofits that we support around the world.